This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
My colleague Lerato Mbele is today going to be interviewing the acting CEO of South African Tourism, Themba Khumalo, about the various efforts the organization has embarked on to turn around the tourism industry. This special interview is proudly brought to you by South African Tourism, inspiring new ways. I think it's going to be a very interesting conversation, especially looking at the building efforts that the entire country is engaged in. I mean, the COVID-19 pandemic has devastated the tourism sector globally. South Africa was not spared. In actual fact, the South African tourism sector was one of the hardest hit economically by the pandemic. And many businesses in the tourism industry are still reeling from that devastation. And even more tragic so, those that closed down their doors. And this really does affect us. I mean, people lost their jobs, people that we know, people that we are close to. It might be affecting us differently at different degrees and so forth, but it definitely does affect all of us, and it makes this conversation that much more important. Now, SAT is entrusted with the important job of ensuring that tourists from across the world choose South Africa as a destination. And I think it's going to come as a sigh of relief to know that according to statistics, South Africa, we are seeing a positive sign with the income from the tourism accommodation increasing by just above 86%. Now, this is a big thing. This is from the year end May of 2022. And it makes you wonder, what efforts has, South African tourism embarked on to turn around the tourism industry and speed up the recovery process from this devastation? Well, I think in this hour is going to be a great time for you and I to be getting those answers to those questions, because any time from now on, we are going to be taking it live, going live to our sister station, Power 987, as Lerato Mbele interviews the acting CEO of South African Tourism, Themba Khumalo, about the various efforts and implementing strategies. The efforts are amazing, but the implementing strategies that they put in place, I think, are ultimately going to just steer this in a direction that is either desirable or not desirable. And we get to find out some of those solid things that, are put in place to make sure that our industry, the tourism industry, is put on solid ground. And I think it's very, interesting for us as a province, because, we've got so much going on in terms of tourism, in terms of the scenery, in terms of just how beautiful we are. How is this going to affect the economy of our province? I mean, we're talking economically in terms of the country, but we have to also, as Limpopo people, consider where we are and how this conversation, what this conversation means for us on the ground as well. We will be crossing over live to them at any moment right now.
Power 98.7 is proudly brought to you by South African Tourism, inspiring new ways.
All right, so wanderlust, it's a term used to describe someone with itchy feet and a yearning to move around. I have a wanderlust. Now, travel, we know, it's exploration, it's discovery, it's unearthing new cultures and sampling varying tastes. It's hearing a different language and observing how another society lives. Travel is connection as you discover the similarities of cultures, aspirations and ideals that you and somebody on the other end of the world are actually more similar than you think. Travel is innovation when you observe how countries have solved for particular problems. Think public transportation. When you see it, you believe it. Things that could work well in your own city or country. And most importantly, travel is rest. It's rest for the mind, and it's rest for the body, and it's restoration for the soul. And if you can have a few extra rands to spend, rather buy an experience, purchase a memory, invest in a new perspective for yourself and for your family. And this could be done whether you're traveling around your country or you're traveling abroad. Themba Khumalo is the acting CEO of SA Tourism, and he joins us now to remind us why travel matters. Themba Khumalo, good day.
Good day, Lerato, and good morning to all of your listeners.
All right, so we all dream of traveling. We all dream of traveling to an exotic destination, but very few of us can afford it. So how can SA Tourism bring that opportunity closer to you, that person who wants an experience?
Let me start off like this. So before we went into level 5 lockdown in March 2020, we took travel for granted. Mm. So we just assumed that if we did want to get up and go somewhere, we could. But most of us actually didn't. But the fact that we could gave us comfort. And when we all of a sudden could no longer move, I think we realized the actual value of human connection. Mm. The value of our constitutional and human right to move freely on the earth and within our country.
Yeah.
And we started getting a higher appreciation for the fact that, you know, a holiday is not something that is expensive or something that you need to spend a lot of time trying to invest in.
Yeah.
It actually is part of human life. Imagine coming all the way from heaven into the earth and you spend your entire time just in one spot, you know. And I think what happened when we went into that lockdown is people that were not thinking about travel suddenly started thinking about traveling.
Yeah.
The minute we went down to level three, when we could now, you know, move across provinces, etc., there was a heightened demand. Those that used to travel overseas could not go overseas, could only travel within the country. And we started, you know, having a deeper appreciation for South Africa as a destination.
Yeah.
Most, you know, affluent people that, you know, could travel to anywhere in the world, all of a sudden couldn't do that. They had to look for destinations domestically.
Yeah.
And that gave you the high end of our market, the five-star, four-star, you know, ultra luxury segment, you know, a really big boost in terms of tourism. Also, the mid-market, you know, which would travel normally to go and visit friends and family, or would travel to go, you know, following a soccer game or music or a religious event, etc., suddenly found new impetus, let me put it that way, you know, an urgency to be able to travel and go and see, you know, one another. People travel for love, you know, people travel long distances, you know, if you know, when Greyhound, you know, was temporarily put out of commission.
Yeah.
The number of love stories that poured out from people that either fell in love on the bus or traveled on the bus to go and see their loved ones, it was an amazing time.
Okay.
So what tourism does is it catalyzes human connection.
Yeah.
It makes us human. It keeps us human. And it enhances, you know, our time on this planet.
Okay. And I love what you're saying is that what COVID did was it really amplified claustrophobia, being stuck, being immobilized forcefully, and people wanted to get around. And what you're saying is touring is not going from here to Paris. It could be going from here to Polokwane. You need just that little bit of freedom to move and discover. And so what did happen, from what I'm understanding you say, is there was a stimulus for the domestic tourism economy, for the middle classes and those who could afford it. And so this breaks down tourism into two categories, domestic and international travel. Many people want that international experience. But what South Africa is saying is you can have so many of those incredible memories here as well.
Absolutely, Lerato. So here's the thing. Travel is also local. You know, you'll be surprised how many people live in a place and have never gone to eat out in the areas right around them. You'll have, you know, a great B&B. It doesn't mean that because it's a B&B and you've got a house right next to it, that you can't, you know, take your family out and just go spend a night in, you know, in a hospitality environment just to have a change of scene right in your own locality. So what we found is that when people could not travel across provinces, they had to travel within their localities.
Yeah.
And that enhanced our local economy. So, for example, our township, you know, tourism economy suddenly had an extremely, you know, big surge and uptake because people now had to experience, you know, hospitality in their actual locality. What that did is it also enhanced the quality of the service in the locality, because when you're serving people that know you, people that you're going to see tomorrow, you know, you tend to pay a lot more attention in terms of the quality of service. So what we have found is that the shape of our supply side in tourism has actually improved.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example. So when we went into, you know, the lockdown, yes, we lost a lot of product, you know, that's a fact. A lot of product shut down, a lot of product, you know, did not survive. But also real entrepreneurs emerged in the middle of lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
New establishments got created. you know, new experiences got created. So that shows that we are a resilient country. We're a creative country and we're an entrepreneurial country.
Just clarity, when you talk about product, what are you talking about? Hotels, restaurants?
Yeah, I'm talking about hotels. New hotel groups came up. I'm talking about, you know, entertainment, you know, platforms. I'm trying to avoid mentioning any product, by name. But new product experiences, you know, suddenly got developed. People had to, that were laid off, you know, across, you know, various sectors, had to find new livelihoods.
Yeah.
So people became, you know, tapped into the ingenuity within them and resourcefulness within them and came up with new ideas of what to do with their lives. And I believe that as a country, as a sector, that we're in better shape now than we were when we went in.
Okay, so you're talking about a tourism value chain here because there's the airline that gets you there or the bus that takes you there. There's where you're going to stay, the accommodation. There's where you're going to eat. There's the entertainment around you, the experiences, and so on and so forth. And if you're not going very far, it could be as simple. A product could be a hiking trip.
Exactly.
A tourism experience.
Exactly.
And a product.
Exactly.
Okay.
So let me break it down like this. So there are three parts to tourism. The first part is the demand side. This is where you're sourcing tourists to come to your country or sourcing tourists within the country to travel, you know, within the environment. So on the demand side, what we've done from a South African tourism standpoint is we've done all the econometrics around the world, and we have identified 44 markets around the world. 24 are core, where we are investing in, you know, direct marketing. The other 20, we work through our international relations, you know, embassies in order to bring people into the country. That is because we're using taxpayers' money. We need to make sure that it is targeted and that there's a proper ROI that we can actually track. Okay. So those markets we invest in. We've got 9 offices around the world through which we do the, you know, marketing. So in the Americas, we've got the US, we've got Brazil, we've got Canada. In Europe, we've got the UK, the Netherlands, South Europe, and the Nordics, etc.
Right.
And then also in Asia as well. But the majority of our arrivals come from the African continent. And I want to underpin this because I've spoken about domestic. I want to talk about the African continent.
Yeah. We will talk about Africa.
Yeah. Most of the arrivals actually come from the continent. You've got the SADC region where people come through the borders, by road and short-haul air travel. We've also got people that come from East and West Africa into South Africa by air. Most advanced and successful tourism economies, if you take Europe, for example, it's not people flying in from outside. It's Europeans traveling within Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we need to really, really build, and this is one of our focus areas, is to make sure that the intra-Africa travel is really strengthened, because that is how we're going to shore ourselves against any future impact such as COVID.
Yeah.
Is when we've got a strong domestic tourism economy and we've got a strong Africa, continental, travel economy.
Right.
So that is where our focus really is. We do know that the traveler that comes from Europe comes with foreign currency.
Yeah.
So in terms of the spend contribution that they bring in, you know, because the whole idea is to bring spend into the country, that then turns into jobs, it turns into employment, it turns into viability for small businesses, etc. So at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do, is to positively impact our economy, create jobs, sustain small businesses, and also sustain the bigger businesses. But the focus has got to be on very specific markets. And as I said, domestic first, Africa continent next, and then the international markets.
Rest of the world. Yes. I want to go back to the thing you said about the love stories on the bus when the Greyhound could no longer travel, because you're looking at modalities here, how people travel.
Yes.
So those African travellers, if they're coming further north, would be flying into the country.
Correct.
From across the region. They could be driving into the country using a bus, helicopters for the luxury travel, rail as well, beautiful railway lines. But the issue, again, is quality of infrastructure and stability. The SAA story. Not yours to solve, but definitely has a huge impact on your ability to market this destination.
Look, absolutely. So, you know, I was part of SAA, you know, in my previous parts of my career. And there is nothing on earth like being in a foreign country, and as you're flying back, as you walk, you know, through the airport and you see the SAA tail, you know, on the tarmac there.
Went home.
I tell you, I mean, you feel like you're already home. I mean, and when you walk onto that aircraft and the cabin crew smile back at you, I mean, it is the most amazing feeling. Yeah. And so SAA, you know, and, you know, all our, you know, carriers, I mean, we've got Air Link, we've got, you know, other, you know, domestic airlines. They form a very, you know, important facilitator of tourism, because, as I said, you've got the demand side. But once you've convinced people to come, they're not going to swim here. You know, they're going to have to get onto some mode of transport, and they're going to have to fly here somehow or drive here. So the modes of transport that bring people into, you know, the country are absolutely critical. Also, the way people travel, because not all travel, not all air travel is direct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people will switch via Dubai, people will switch via, you know, Addis. So we also work with our hubs to make sure that passengers are able to access the country through all of those big hubs.
Right.
It is absolutely critical that we work with various partners to facilitate that whole value chain. I also want to talk about the fact that once a person has bought an air ticket, you know, and they're willing to come to the country, from some countries, you're going to need a visa. So our whole visa regime is a very critical part, and that's why we work very closely with our Home Affairs colleagues and also with our embassies, you know, around the world, to make sure that where we have demand, that there is a visa facilitation process to enable people that are willing to come to the country to actually come in.
No backlogs at the moment.
There are backlogs in certain parts of the world where we have demand. And we are working with our colleagues at Home Affairs to make sure that we sort that out. You know, the e-visa regime that our government, you know, has really pioneered, you know, is really beginning to help facilitate people coming into the country. But we also need to always understand that we've got to balance the national policies that we have around safety and security, you know, with our visa regime. So as much as we want, you know, everyone to just open up the borders and everybody to come in, the other considerations that, you know, our great government, you know, has to take into account. So we work with that rhythm to make sure that we sustain tourism, we grow tourism, but that we also protect the sovereignty of our country.
I'm just going to go anecdotally here and just tell you something I've experienced as a South African. So because of my previous job, I used to travel a lot, way too much. And I also used to travel perhaps one third of my time into West Africa and Europe. And I remember a situation where I was struggling to renew a visa to Nigeria and couldn't get a coherent answer why it was taking so long. And then eventually they were just crude and said, well, your government makes it difficult for us to travel to South Africa, so why shouldn't you suffer that pain and inconvenience? And the prices kept on changing for the visa, and it was just a mess. And eventually the BBC got the visas. But after serious, serious, serious groveling and getting an agent involved, and it was just messy. Now, you look at that market, and it's a huge buying market. It's a huge travel market. And it's a dollar-denominated market when they come to South Africa. But it's not so easy for them to come. I'm not saying make the rules lax. But a lot of African travelers that you are targeting would complain about this on the South African side, is that you just make it so hard for them to come.
That question puts me squarely in an area that I'm not qualified to speak on, which is, you know, a geopolitical area in terms of our international relations. So I understand, you know, some of those dynamics, but I'm not qualified to speak on them. Let me just say this, though. I also believe that as South Africans, we need to travel on the continent a lot more.
Okay.
So you've got a lot of our, you know, fellow Africans traveling into South Africa, but we don't have an equivalent amount of travel of South Africans onto the continent.
Yeah.
So the whole idea of creating understanding, creating tolerance, creating coexistence comes from visiting one another.
Yeah.
So the value of tourism really is in also engendering human understanding. And actually, you know, Mangithing, Sawubona, I really see you, you know, and I really understand where you come from.
Yeah.
So when we start dealing with administrative issues, you know, visa issues, travel issues, menus in hotels, payment methods, when you've traveled the continent, you suddenly realize that this is normal elsewhere on the continent, and therefore you would treat it differently if you knew. So I actually believe that as South Africans, that's what we need to do. I've said it in various forums. We need a bigger South African push traveling north of these borders so that we can actually create that intra-Africa and tourism synergy platform that I was talking about.
Another challenge, and then I'll go to the sweet spots. If South Africans are to travel more around the country, there are a few things. Petrol prices have shot up 37%. So who wants to get in their car and drive to Durban? It's going to be so costly right now. And a few of the carriers have been grounded. Comair, Kulula Mango. And because of that, a lot of the airline ticket prices have gone up. So there are a lot of market variables that are working against the travel and tourism industry. And I wonder to what extent you have made forecasts and established how dire the situation is and how temporary or permanent it is.
Sure. Let me use this opportunity to address something else, and then we'll come, you know, I'll come specifically to this, to your comment. Tourism touches on a whole lot of other sectors. So, for example, when a hotel is closed, all of a sudden the supplier of flowers to the foyer can't supply them. The entertainers that entertain in the hotel can't do so. The food supply, you know, into the hotel can't do so. So tourism is actually a catalyst.
Mm.
And yes, it is therefore affected by what happens in other sectors. You know, if you take a car hire, for example, car hire is in the motor industry and it uses the petroleum industry, but it facilitates tourism and travel. And it facilitates also the jet fuel price. You know, the crude oil price will affect what happens with the airlines. So all of that ecosystem is what we deal with inside of managing the value chain. But I also believe that there's a difference between a tourist and a traveler.
Okay.
A tourist travels when everything, all things being equal. A traveler will travel regardless of the barriers. And the epicenter, you know, the sweet spot that we target as South Africa is we target the traveler mindset rather than the tourist mindset.
I like that. I'll process that as we go to the news.
Yeah, we'll pick it up after the news.
I like the distinction, though. I'd never thought of that.
Yes.
Are you a tourist or are you a traveler?
Yes.
Tell us.
So a tourist, if, you know, they need to fix their house one year, they'll fix the house and they won't travel.
Yeah.
But a traveler travels because they believe that it is part of who they are. It is part of discovery. It is part of enhancing their life.
Yeah.
It is part of what they do.
Yeah.
You know, it's innate to them.
I know.
It's not an activity on the side.
I know way too many travelers in my life. That's what that means.
The number I suspect you might be one of them.
Completely. 0619870000 if you want to find out more about the tourism value chain. It's not just the experience of travel. It's the economics as well. This is a sector that contributes 3.7% to the GDP. It could go all the way up to 8%, all things being equal. We continue with this conversation.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.